Hallelujah. We had an exciting prayer service last night. We're just kept hearing the Lord say, make room for the Holy Spirit. Make room for the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you could tell that service was just a little different. And that being the reason, we just want to make room for what the Spirit of God wants to do today. And we just yield to Him. There is no agenda in the church that outranks the move of the Holy Ghost. So whatever man has planned is subject to change according to him. We want his will more than anything else. So we're just trying to be mindful of that. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 26 is what we'll be reading today. And we titled this sermon, Preparations for a Celebration. Preparation for a Celebration. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. Are you there? Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which we may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he'll show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Do you guys know the expression, there's an elephant in the room? Can you imagine the size of this elephant when he drops this bomb? One of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Father God, we just come before you today looking for the will of God, looking for the purpose of this service. God, we ask, Lord, that you would fill every heart, every void, every need. God, we know that everything we need, you have. We're not looking to the bank, to the government, to any other source today other than you. Our eyes are fixed firmly upon you, Jesus. You are the one we need. Fill our hearts. God, I know something you want to do today. I know, God, in my spirit. Lord, have your way. We yield to you. Move by your spirit. Break off every fetter. Break off everything that holds us back from serving you. God, let us come to our senses. Let us make you number one, first place, final authority of our life. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My rock and my redeemer, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Nothing happened to Jesus by surprise. Not one detail of his life caught him off guard. He knew exactly what was going on. I think sometimes we think that our life is hidden from him. We think that he doesn't see what we're doing. He doesn't know what our past is and what our future is going to be. But he does. There is nothing hidden from the eyes of God. He knows everything about your heart. He knows your past from your future, but he knows your present. He is reading your heart at this very moment. Come clean. There are so many people in the body of Christ that we are living so close to the edge. The stress level in people's life is ridiculous. And I just for a moment can't believe that that's what God wants for us. See, I believe the way of God is peaceful. I believe God wants peace in our life. I believe God wants joy in our life. You know, the disciples came to him and said, "Where do you want to celebrate Passover?" Did you notice the detail? He said, "Go into town. You're going to see a guy carrying a pitcher of water," which was unusual because the ladies did that. "And say, follow him. He's going to go to a house. And then you ask him, hey, where can we in this house, where can we have Passover? And he'll show you and you'll make ready." Nothing in your life is hidden. If you will only seek him, he will give you that kind of detail for your life. Here's what you need to do. You need to do this. Church as usual is not going to cut it. We just can't keep doing the same old things. We're so close to the end times. God said he was going to shorten the end times because the very elect was going to be deceived if it went on much longer. That's you. There's so much deception in the church. It breaks my heart. I want, above all things, to know you're going to make it. Not just to heaven. I want you to be successful here. I want you to know the peace and the love of God in your everyday life. Amen. We just keep going through the motions, don't we? A few weeks ago, I talked about the hamster on the wheel. And I just feel like that describes our church. I feel like we're the hamster on the wheel. We just keep running and running and running and running. We're getting nowhere. When are we going to come to the end? When we say, "Not my will, your will. God, you have a plan for my life. And I keep doing my thing." Are you tired yet? Are you tired? Are you ready to say, "Okay, God. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. What I want is what you want. I submit my life to you." I'm not telling you that life is going to be easy or going to be rosy at that point. Because at that point, you just stepped up to the front lines of the enemy. And he's going to take a pot shot at you pretty quickly. I'm just telling you, it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. Let's look over in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I am so thankful that the church in Corinth was so screwed up If it had been a good church, we wouldn't have all of this correction. The books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians are books of correction for the misbehavior of a church. And and because of that, we get so much wisdom from it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul is telling them what happened in this very story that I just read. Okay? This is the same exact moment of time, except he's many years later. Now he is relaying it to these Corinths, who had just multiple problems in their church. So listen to this. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Talking about that night. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Amen. As you know, sometimes when you are in charge of making the preparations for a party, whether it be a shower or a birthday party or an afterglow or whatever we're doing at church, and you're in charge of it, you know sometimes the details are exhausting, right? Trying to get it to where, now, you know, if it was guys, hey, we'd say, "Hey, we're having a shower back here. No one ordered the cake and there's no punch made, but we're going to have a good time, bless God. Now let's go back there and do something." And that would be the shower. But for women, that's not the way we do it, right? No, we've got every little detail we got to get. The tablecloth has to be right. It's got to, the colors of the tablecloth have to match the icing on the cake, you know, and the punch has to match that. And at the, if it's a boy, it's got to be blue. You can't have yellow. Oh, Jiminy Christmas, that's just ridiculous, right? It's the details, you know, that we stress ourselves out with. So Jesus sent these guys and said, "Hey, make ready." Ooh, did you just feel that? You know what? He just is saying the same thing today. He's saying, "Make ready the church, I'm coming back. Make ready the church. I'm coming back." The Holy Ghost is here today saying, "Make ready. I'm fixing to come back. You better have it ready. I'm looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle." People are living with too much sin in their life. They've got this feeling that it doesn't matter how I live. You're crucifying Christ all over again, Christian. Whether you call yourself Christian or not, whether you're living in sin, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. You cannot call yourself a Christian and continue to live a life of sin. It's a misnomer. You can't be both. You cannot be both. You cannot do that. It's an oxymoron. It's ridiculous to think. Now, it's one thing. Every Christian I know sins. I'm talking about living a lifestyle of sin while saying you're a Christian. That's not correct. You cannot do that. You're crucifying Christ again. The same word that we preach to sinners works for those even if you have the label of Christian on you. The word that says no adulterer makes it to heaven. No fornicator will make it. All liars go to hell. Christian, you ought to need to listen to that because that's pretty important. We've just got this thing going that we think it doesn't matter. just doesn't matter the way I live. I don't want to be in your shoes on Judgment Day. I just don't. I want you to be able to say, I ran the race. I finished my course. I have been faithful to what you've called me to do. Does that mean perfection? Absolutely not. But does that mean you gave it your best effort? Yes. That when you identified a sin, when you identified something in your life, you said, God, take this out. Forgive me of my sins. The purpose of communion is to acknowledge and give testimony of the triumphant work of the cross. Did you get that? The purpose of communion is to acknowledge and give testimony of the triumphant work of the cross. I want to go down in my notes some, and I want to talk about that part of Philippians, or that part of Corinthians that said, if you do this and you drink in a manner that's unworthy, many people are sick. Many people die because of this. And all my life I heard that preached. If you take communion with sin in your life, there's a price to be paid. And I don't agree with that. Now, I say this. Before communion, you ought to examine your heart. And if there's sin there, you ought to ask forgiveness. Because what you're getting ready to do is a very, very holy moment in God's sight. But I want you to understand what that verse, I think what that verse really means. I think communion many times is flippant. I think that we just do it as a matter of tradition. Some churches practice it every week. Communion for the Old Testament saint, once a year. It wasn't every week. They did it once a year and it was precious to them. Churches get into a practice. Well, we got to do it on the first Sunday of the month, or we got to do it every week, or we got to do it. No. As oft as you do it as unto the Lord. It doesn't matter how much, but every time you take communion, it's got to be a holy, sacred moment. It's got to be a time when you think about what was done for you. Because if you don't, then you're taking it in an unworthy manner. That's my opinion. That's what I believe the Lord is saying. To take communion when you don't think about the work on the cross that was done is taking it unworthy. To take communion and think that every problem I have is solved with Him, that's taking it unworthy. You got to take it with a level of expectation of what He did for you on the cross. Do you know there's some churches that don't like to talk about the cross? They don't want to mention the blood of Christ. Dear God, what are we about if we're not about the blood of Jesus and the cross? One very, very famous pastor announced before he ever really started his ministry, I will not be talking about sin. Well, then get yourself off of TV, big boy. Because this world in which we live needs to be called into a time of accounting. Amen. I love feel-good messages. And I love to preach them. But this ain't one. Feel-good messages are wonderful. I love to tell you, you're winners. You're going to succeed. Man, just have faith in God and all this. But there's sometimes when you say, okay, rubber hits the road today. God is calling us to be accountable for our life. Give an account. Let's see where we're at today. He tells the disciples, he said, go make this ready. You know, in the Old Testament, you know they took four cups of wine? They had four cups. Now we take one, right? Do you know why they took four? Now there's, you can study, not all Jewish tradition is alike. So there's different ideas out there, but I believe this was one that I read it several times. It's from Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. God gave four promises to the Jews. And he said this, he said, I will take you out from Egypt. I shall rescue you. I shall redeem you. And I will take you as my own people. Four promises that God gave to the Jews who were in slavery. So therefore, they took four cups of wine to remember every promise. Now that's somebody that is not taking it unworthy. Somebody that takes communion and says, I want to remember the promises of God as I drink this cup. I want to remember every promise that you have given me. When you said, I'm going to take you out, I will deliver you, I will rescue you, and you will be my people. I am taking this cup today in remembrance of those four things you told me. Do you know he tells us basically the same thing? He will take us out of sin. I have redeemed you. I have purchased you with a price, a very precious price, may I add. The only begotten Son of the Father laid his life down for you. That's pretty precious. And I will make you my own people. You are the people of God. Peter said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. You are the people of God. You know, the bread that is served at communion in the Jewish communion is what they call matzah. It's the unleavened bread, and there's three qualities in it. One is it's striped. I believe that's significant because our Jesus was striped for a price for your healing. It was pierced. You see, nothing happened on that cross that took God unaware. Everything was prophetically laid out. They did not break his bones on the cross as the tradition was. They pierced his side because they thought, well, he's already dead. Let's pierce him, right? That cracker is pierced. And it was also unleavened, which means sinless. No yeast. Yeast is always a sign of sin. John chapter 6, Jesus announces to the disciples, I am the bread of life. What's he talking about? I am your matzah. I am the sinless bread of life. I'm going to be pierced. I'm going to be striped. I am sinless. I am what sustains you for the rest of your life. Bread is the one staple thing that has carried people for the generation, right? You know, when wheat has to be beaten before it can be made into flour. Christ was beaten to be a sacrifice. Everything about communion, we need to remember the cost, the price that was paid before we take it. And Jeremiah, he prophesied in chapter 31. He said, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law on their mind and write it on their heart. I will be their God and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. That was Jeremiah long before Jesus was ever born. He's talking about what's going to happen. They didn't have any clue of who the Holy Spirit is. And that there's a coming a day when the Spirit of God will live inside of men. And He will put a right and wrong check in your mind and in your heart. You see, I don't have to preach that lying is wrong. You know it. You know that committing adultery is wrong. You know sleeping around is wrong. You know homosexuality is wrong. You know those things. Why? Why is it universal that people know it's wrong to hurt children? Why? Because the price that Jesus paid when the Spirit of God was given out, He wrote His law in your heart. Oh, some men call it a conscience. Oh, my conscience is bothering me. Buddy, can I just tell you, that ain't your conscience. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is letting you know because He wrote His Word in your hearts. We don't even know what a covenant is today because we don't write covenants. We write contracts. Do you know a contract is written because of mistrust? It is basically written to try to keep the other person honest. Because we do not trust anyone, right? We know that everybody's out for number one. We're going to get the raw end of the deal if we don't have a contract. So we write it from the perspective of, I got to keep her honest. I got to keep him honest. That's not a covenant. A covenant is written from the base of total trust. And it surrenders your rights. Jesus said, I want to go into a covenant with you. I'm going to lay down my rights. No longer. And this is where pride comes from. Because we get so stirred up that you didn't treat me right. I deserve to be treated this certain way. Well, I'm telling you, when you get in a covenant with God, you lay down your rights. No longer do you deserve anything but death. But He went to the cross to pay a price that you could not pay. Bless God. Isn't it amazing what He did on that cross? No one else could do, and yet American Christians are still all about, I deserve, I needed to be treated this way. How dare they treat me? Who are you? You are a dead man. Jesus lives in you. It's not about Courtney, it's about Christ in Courtney. When will the church ever get that? Yes, we've been disappointed. We've been disrespected. We've been talked about and gossiped about. Who cares? Oh, that He would be glorified. That somebody would look at your life and say, that person exemplifies Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's about Him. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to go in covenant with Him? Are you willing to surrender your rights? Why is this not preached in church? Why have we said it's just about a prayer? Why have we said all you got to do is say this little prayer, you're going to go to heaven? Could care less how the rest of your life goes. You say one little prayer, your sins are forgiven for the rest of your life, and you're going to make it. We have led millions of people to hell. False doctrine. It matters how you live. It matters. Does His blood cover your sin? Absolutely. But you can't go out there and willfully keep sinning. The covenant of Christ. We take these elements. We take this little cup of juice. What is that all about? It's about the blood of Jesus that was spilt for your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. They were used to shedding blood. Daily sacrifices, but annually they had to sacrifice for the remission of sin, the covering of sin. But Jesus is our atonement. Whew, totally different thing. He removed our sin. You see, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you're sin free. He said that He will never remember it anymore. But that doesn't mean you can't keep going and keep sinning. Jesus said when He called the disciples, He said, I want you to follow me. I want you to imitate me. I want you to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Not just say a little prayer. Deny yourself. It's not my way anymore. Man, are you getting into this? Amen. Do you see how different our life is than the life that He's called us to? So today, as we take communion here a little bit, I want you to examine yourself. I want you to say, why am I always mad? Why do I have such an anger issue? I can tell you. Because you're still living. The old man's not dead. It's where most of the anger comes from. Is there such a thing as righteous anger? Yeah. Do Christians suffer that? Rarely. We like to think we suffered a lot. But most of our anger is always selfish. Rarely is it about the cause of Christ. I want us to get this today. I want us to turn a corner in our walk with Jesus today. I want us to pick up this cup and say, because you shed your blood, I go free. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the blood flow carries every cell of oxygen to every cell in your body. Comes through the blood. Your life is in that blood flow. When the blood stops flowing, you dead. You ain't going to last very long. Well, we need the blood of Christ. Somebody needs to close that door, please, Dave, if you don't mind. And then the other element is the bread. When we had to recognize, what is that all about? That bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for you. That bread represents the stripes that was put upon His back for our healing. Do you realize that was almost a separate issue? That was another addition to the work of the cross. Those 39 stripes, He said, oh, by the way, while we're getting all this done, let's go ahead and get that one too, because I want my people to go free. I want my people to walk in healed bodies. I want the price to be paid for healing. So He says, I'm willing to pay that price. When you take that bread in your hands, you realize and you submit that sick body that you're walking into Him and saying, because your body was broken, my body can be healed. Let's not go away sick today and let's not suffer death. Let's go away healed today. You believe that? I believe that we could experience miracles today as we take the communion cup and we take it full of faith, recognizing what He has done in our life. Jesus didn't score a lot of points when He was talking to the crowd. He said, unless you drink my blood and eat my body, you'll have no part of me. And they thought, this guy is teaching cannibalism. We ain't having this stuff. I am not eating His body and I'm not drinking His cup. I'm not even going to drink the Kool-Aid if a preacher tells me to. But do you understand what He was saying? He was talking about the covenant. He was talking about communion that was to come. You've got to take this in the name of Jesus. And Jesus then deals with the betrayer at the same time. He drops the bombshell. He says, one of you guys are going to betray me. Now, one of the Gospels, I believe it's John, that says at the very moment that Judas dipped in there, Satan entered his body. Demon possession. Don't be ridiculous. Yes, Satan still enters bodies. He still wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you can be free. I think what really ministered to me is the way they ended this thing. They ended it with singing a hymn. Isn't that neat? The tradition of singing hymns. What did they sing? Have you ever asked yourself? Most people believe they sang Psalms 115 and 118. Those two those two chapters they put together and pulled things out. So I went and read those and I pulled some things out that I thought might minister to you. Some things that maybe they were singing about that day. It says, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless the house of Kelleher. That's not in there, but He will. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That is the middle scripture of your whole Bible. Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Does that not sound like many of the hymns that we sing today? Singing of the preciousness of God. How faithful He has been to all of us. Get your eyes off of your problems. Get your eyes off of yourself. And let's place them on the cross, on the work that was done for you. And let's remember what He did for us. I think it will help you this next week if you take this cup and you remember what the Lord did. Stand with me. If the ushers would come forward. In this church, we celebrate open communion, which means you don't have to be a member. You're welcome to take communion. That's between you and the Lord. You need to be saved to take communion. Your heart needs to be right to take communion. So let's ask the Lord. Let's spend just a moment in prayer, recognizing Him, okay? Father God, we come before You today. And Lord, as we get ready to participate in this covenant, God, that You have done for us, that You have paid the price so that we can go free. God, You know if there's any sin in us. And I pray, Lord, right now that the Spirit of God would begin to bring those things to our mind that we need to repent of, that we need to get rid of. God, if there's anything that we all know we're not perfect. We know, God, that we mess up on a pretty regular basis. So, God, we ask, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we want to take communion full of faith. We want to take this remembering the work that was done on the cross, remembering the price that was paid for my salvation, remembering that the wrath of God was spilled out on You so that I do not have to endure the wrath of God ever in my life. God, forgive us of our sins. Let us go free to celebrate Your work today. And Lord, may we mention those three most powerful words that was spoken on the cross. It is finished. The work has been done. The work is finished. It is complete so that I can be complete in You. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you would go ahead and pass this out. Amen. Let's sing a song. I'd like for Denny and Roy, If you're in the room today, I don't see Roy, but if you would come up, and I'm going to ask you two to pray over these elements once we take it all together.
Go ahead
and take it to them. Take it to them. Serve them row by row if you would.
Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff and Candy. Would you two? Would you serve the middle row?
What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood is my victory. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life.
Yes,
the blood, it is my victory.
Oh,
the blood of Jesus washes me.
Oh,
the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life.
Yes,
the blood, it is my victory.
Oh, the blood
of Jesus.
Oh,
the blood of Jesus.
Know Jesus as your Savior, today would be a great day to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and let you start life anew and afresh. Isn't it a wonderful thing that all your past can be washed away, never to be remembered again? Amen.
Father God, we ask you to bless this bread, Lord, this physical representation of the body of Christ that was broken on our behalf. We ask you to bless it, Lord God, and let it remind us continually the sacrifice that Christ did on our behalf. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take the bread together.
Father, just like Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips, Lord Jesus, and I need you, Lord. What a wretched man I am at times, Father. I am so thankful for the blood that you shed at Calvary, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for being mindful of man, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the price that you paid, Lord. Lord, you came into our world and you showed us how to live and how to love and how to declare the power of the word that you sent us, Lord Jesus. You moved upon all the great men, Father God, and gave us the Holy Scripture, Lord God. It's the only truth that we have, Lord. And I just want you to know that I'm thankful and I'm grateful, Father. Forgive us all, Lord Jesus, of the sins that we've committed, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
Let this be a new day, Lord Jesus, for each one of us. Let us make a covenant, Lord God, for these things that have been hanging on us, Lord Jesus, that are stopping us from our worship and our prayer life, Father God. Let it be a new day, Lord Jesus, in glory and victory, Father God. They plowed up on your back till your skin hung in ribbons, Father God, for the price that you paid for us to live, Lord. Blessed be your name, Father, in all the earth, Lord Jesus. Be high and lifted up, Lord God. Thank you for the price that you paid, Father God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Let's take this together. Hallelujah. I want you to take all your needs to the Lord right now as we stand full of faith. If you're sick in body, believe God for His healing touch. If you need a job, if you need finances, if you need peace.